Thanks for coming for my third lecture. So today I'd like to talk about Warholm symmetry and confinement in gauge theory. Okay, so in this collaboration, we are thinking about the generalized form of symmetry, but as a physicist, of course, we care about such generalization because it is useful to understand the various physics questions and phenomena. And so here, so today's goal is to exhibit one of such examples where the generalized form of symmetry, in this case the Warholm symmetry, is very useful to formulate the notion of confinement in gauge theory. So basically, the confinement we can characterize the confinement via the Warholm symmetry. So that's today's topic. Okay, and so last day, I think I mainly talked about the conventional symmetry. So the conventional symmetry, if you have a conventional symmetry, then that corresponds to Conemangian one invertible topological operator. Okay, and so we can relax this condition while keeping the other. So we can think about, instead of codimension one guy, we can think about the codimension Q plus one, maybe P. Sorry, let me use P. P plus one invertible topological operators, and that. So we define our P form symmetry by this. Okay. So that's the way of generalization. By the way, this is this thing is first proposed by a paper by Gaiotto, Kapustin, Zavobiet in 2014. Okay, and that paper is very informative, so I recommend all of you to read it. Okay, and okay, so and in particular, of course, we can think about any P, but P equals one case is important. So it's important in gauge theory, the usual gauge theory. Okay, so today I focus on this Warholm symmetry, and so far I only gave the examples of finite gauge theory, but today I'd like to talk about continuous gauge theory. Okay, so the example of Warholm symmetry, we can find this and this, and to be concrete, let me just set the dimension the space-time dimension to be hours, that fits 4. Okay, so the continuous case theory in field is G connection. Here G is continuous. And given the connection, you also have a curvature. Okay. Roughly speaking, looks like this. And I'm sorry about the coefficients. This curvature. So the action, the Yamil's action is given by, of course, by like this. Oh, I already traced. So F and if you want those, we can. So this is kinetic term. If you want, we can also add the theta term. Okay, and given this, I'm just setting up the ground, and the detail of the action is not going to be important, but anyway, the partial function on say closed manifold is formally defined by the path integral. So here we x, and we are integrating over the vast space of G connections, up to gauge. And to the minus the with the weight, which is the action. Okay. And so that's, so this is a partial function, and okay. So in this theory, in general, there are two types of topological operators. And it is in the parallel with what I introduced for the finite case theory. So the first one, called the magnetic Wolff symmetry operator, so that is, it's a given connection. So given connection, then we can define a so-called Stieffel-Huytink cross, second Stieffel-Huytink cross, when G is non-abelian. When G is abelian, of course, we have a curvature, which is also gauge invariant. Okay, so this is maybe 2 pi. This is G is U1. Okay, and then, so A is not topological, because it's a connection for the continuous group, so it's not anything topological, but this W2 depends only on the topology of the bundle. So this is a topological quantity, and out of that we can define operator. So this is a topological codimension to topological operator. Well, maybe in this dimension, maybe I just call it dimension 2. And by just you integrate the second Stiefel-Fourier class on the defect, the support of the defect, and again you evaluate. With a fixed character of this so this is pi 1, the fundamental group of the gauge group. Okay, so there's the dimension 2 in this dimension, this codimension 2 topological operator in this theory. So when this pi 1 is non-zero, non-trivial, there is a Markov symmetry. So this defines a Markov symmetry. Okay, so Markov symmetry. And in Down's notation, it's one form of pi 1 of G. Check. And this is called magnetic one form symmetry. And then there's another type. Which is, yes, it's a dual of this. And so that is defined by the disorder type definition. So let's say we have a codimension 2 submanifold inside of the spacetime, and what do you do to define the other type of topological operator is to demand that this A is singular. A is singular along D2, and if you go around, if you measure the holonomy around D2, so demand that, sorry, the holonomy of just look at the exponential of A. Okay, so this is the integration around D2, and in this dimension, okay, is some fixed element of the center of the group. Okay. So that's the rough picture. To be more precise, it's convenient to talk about the background corresponding to this defect. So this defect and it's the data of this defect and And junctions gives you the data of background. Sorry. And then we define a position function coupled to background. By, let's say here, let me assume that the pi 1, for, just for simplicity, pi 1 is 0. In this case, the position function coupled to this background is defined by modifying here, we are summing over general general G over Z of G connection, which is but with whose default second Stiefel pointing class is this background. Okay, so that's the definition by given by the background.
In the first case, it's almost clear why the variable is topological. In the second case, how do you see that it's topological? I mean, in principle, you can put the holonomy equal to any element of the group, but only for the center is topological. How can you see this?
So, yeah, good question. So, here, I would say that from this definition, it's as long as it's so yeah. If this is not in G, I mean center, then you can interpret this kind of singular connection as the connection for the quotient group. So then, once you can notice that you can figure out that singular connection as the connection for the quotient group, then from this definition, it becomes topological because it only depends on this. Almost independent of the cocycle choice of B. Yes.
Are you assuming that the group is connected?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Let me assume the G is even, simple, connected and simple. Thanks. Yes, please.
And while in the first case, how can you define the operator for the analogous for element not associated to the center in the magnetic one?
Sorry, you repeat?
I mean, it's a bit confused question because in the second case, you have a precise notion of defining an operator not associated to the center. So in the magnetic case, can you do something similar?
I'm not even sure that I can really do this without assuming it's not. I mean, it can define a non-divergent operator. So. I don't know the dual piece. Yeah, so yeah. Okay, so this one is called the electric homosymmetry. I will shortly make clear why this is called electric and the other is called magnetic. Okay, and wow, okay, I skip here. Is that the, this is beta? Okay, so this is I claim that this is a symmetry, and if it is a symmetry, we would like to have something charged under the symmetry. Okay, usually, and so it's also natural to find a charged operator. Okay, operator. The operator that is acted by this symmetry. Okay, and in the case of the zero form symmetry, what's acted is a local operator. But here, in the case of one form symmetry, the one form symmetry can naturally act on is a line operator. Okay, so for the electric case, that is Wilson line. So this Wilson line is the non-topological. In the continuous case theory, it's non-topological line operator. Okay. Okay. So this. Okay. And. And which is defined by this as a holonomy, the Wilson line, Wilson maybe loop, a loop gamma inside your spacetime is just a holonomy. So this is the Posse exponential. This is holonomy and. Okay. And you, this is a loop, and you trace over R is a representation. Sorry, this is a representation. Rep of G. Okay. So for each representation, you have this Wilson line. And I claim that this is charged under the electric one-form symmetry. Okay, so let's study it. We have some Wilson line, and we put, okay, the way this one-form symmetry acts on a line operator, the non-topological, potentially non-topological line operator is by linking. So, link. So, and okay. So, here the ambient spacetime is four dimensions, Wilson line is one dimension. and the topological operator for the electric Ohm symmetry is two dimensions, so it can link. And sorry, let me take this to be the other direction. Maybe it's got turned. And there's a direction here. Okay. Okay. And to study the action of this thing or that thing on the Wilson loop is that, well, it's convenient to draw the diagram from this angle, okay. So I cut, well, I can draw, but this is a UG goes like this, okay, and try to let's see what happens if this large volume of this topological operator crosses the Wilson line. Okay, so this is topological, so we can just move freely as long as it does not cross the Wilson line. But let's see that what happens when it crosses. And okay, so we bring this to the other direction. And what happens is that here, okay. So if we infinitesimally deform when this UG is very close to the Wilson line, and if we infinitesimally deform the Wilson line here, then it picks the contribution because we demand that this holonomy going around the holonomy of the gauge field going around this surface is the center. So this picks. Up the holonomy, which is inside the center. Okay, so in the equation, this looks like that. Let me call this point of contact be x. Then. This is holonomy, and like times G times. This thing, so x naught is whatever the base point that you start integrating, and then going to x, this point of contact, but then we get the additional contribution of g. This is in the center. Okay, then keep going. Until going back to the original point. Okay, and this is in the center, so basically this is proportional to the identity acting on the representation. Okay, so this is merely just a factor. So this is a almost the original one, but you have a factor, which is a face, and this is a face. Okay, so this phase is a charge. Charge of this. I mean electric charge, electric Wang-Hong symmetry charge. Charge of WO. Sorry.
Why do you have the denominator trace of one?
Oh yeah, I just, this is the proportional to one. I just divided by the dimension.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just a proportionality constant of G to one. Okay. Or well. The same picture, essentially it's the same picture, but alternatively, let me have it right here because I will use it. Maybe right here. So alternatively. Where's my red one here? We can just look the same thing in as a locally. So if this electric Wang-Hong symmetry operator crosses the first is the Wilson line. This is locally. Locally, we get a phase. Okay, so this is trace R of the same thing. Okay. Just the same thing. Okay. So. Oh, sorry, this is one. Sorry. G is of instead of center, so it's. I'm saying it's irrep. Yeah, sorry. Let me say that this is irrep. Yeah, for the non-irreducible, reducible representation, we just decompose and regard it as a sum over each irreducible component. So, yeah. Then for our center, it's proportional to the identity matrix. Okay. So, well, for example, so G, just abelian gauge theory, then irreducible representation is parameterized by the charge. Charge. This is literally the electric charge of this Wilson line, and so you have Wilson line, and the physical interpretation of this this line operator is a world line. Of a charge Q. Particle. Here I should say infinitely heavy. Okay. So it's not the particle inside your theory, but some probe. You rather think this as a probe, bring very heavy particle that charge under the gauge field and drag along this wall line. Okay, so that's how you think, how you should think about this Wilson line. Okay. And so that's when Abelian gauge theory, of course, when it's non-Abelian, the same, just particle is resides in the particular representation. Okay, and then the charge is okay, and I take G. So for this case, the center of U1 itself, so I can take any element. Okay, then this charge Q representation, this thing, well, this is one dimension. So of course, this is alpha Q. Okay, so this is the phase you get. As you get here, so the charge, I mean the phase you get is explicitly depends on this electric charge. Okay. So we call this Q as a one form charge. Charge and its origin of one form charge is of course. The electric charge that the probe particle carries. Okay, so that's why we call this electric Wolfram symmetry. Any question? It's yes.
Can you repeat the question?
The question is that is this is this a phase? And I mean, of course, when R is the G. Maybe the way I'm writing this is just confusing. It's this, and when G is Abelian, then a non-Abelian, then the center is some cyclic group or product of it. So okay, let's see. So here we can some factor, of course, but. In this case, G, this is one. So this C should be some root of unity. Okay. Yeah, okay, maybe very quick exercise. I can write the exercise. Is just take G is SU2 and small g inside center of SU2, which is Z2, and this is take the small g to be generated, of course, the non-trivial element. Then, okay, so then S is isospin S, okay, loop. Then what is the phase? Okay. I mean, well, if you know, you immediately know. If you don't, please figure it out. And okay, so this is the set. This is the about what is our electric Markov symmetry, and then I'd like to explain the physical significance in the context of confinement in Yamil's theory. Okay, so here the theory is gauge theory without any matter, just gauge field itself. Okay, and so first I have to explain the more physically, what do we mean by the word confinement? And well, confinement means that we cannot find color. Yeah, color is a charge under the SU3 gauge group of the real world QCD, and so that's very rough description, but there's to be more formal, if you have quark and assume that we have quark and anti-quark pair. Okay, so here the word quark is used, whatever particle charged on this gauge group. Okay, and here we are working in a Yamil theory. We treat this quark as a pro particle. So we are considering the very heavy quark. And then this confinement can be characterized as this pair fields potential. Dr, where r is the distance between this is quark and you have anti-quark, and this is a distance. Okay, that is asymptotically linear. Maybe just L. Well, I don't know why. But R. This is asymptotically linear. Okay. As L goes to infinity. Okay. Pair fields. So, okay. So this means that this pair, if you try to pull them apart, you need more and more energy to pull the two quark apart. Okay, so that means that you cannot, in particular, you can't single out quark out of mesons. Okay. Meson is some bound state. If this is true, then it's likely that these such two pair forms a bound state, okay, and such called a meson, and you can pull a single quark out of meson. Okay. And still, this is like many words and not very formalized. And the point of Monfort symmetry is provide us to more precise language to talk about this kind of phenomena. Okay. Okay, so to do that, we call this point. So the pair of quark antiquark can be modeled modeled, yes. As Wilson. Okay, so that means I need green. Maybe I don't need. This picture, I wrote this way. Okay, so this is Wilson line. Typically, we take this R to be the fundamental, but here, leave it, whatever. And then, so we regard this configuration is like somewhere we pair create this heavy particle and a heavy quark pair, quark and anti-quark. Okay. So then, let me see. Okay. Then assume that we finally pair annihilate. Okay. And so, and they say that this Wilson loop is rectangular, almost rectangular, and with L and height, which is the time it propagates. This is Euclidean time, T. Okay. So then, what does this mean? So, how we characterize this potential, the asymptotic behavior potential, as a via Wilson line, and so that. So, if this pair feels the potential, like here, cut here, and if this feels this pair feels a potential. Like L, and that means that this state has energy like L. Okay, so that's also like L, okay, and that propagates of the time t. So if confined. This is not really confined. So the correlation function is roughly looks like that. This cloak quantum cloak pair acquires this potential energy, and you evolve. So you have this damp factor, and if confined, from there we have this asymptotic behavior when T and L becomes large. Okay, and this is area of this rectangle. This is area. Okay. So this is called, this behavior is called area law. Okay, so the confinement is characterized as the asymptotic behavior of correlation function of, I mean, correlation of Wilson line. And if it exhibits the area law, then we say that the system is confined. Okay. By the way, this is nothing new. This is, I'm just explaining the very old concept. Okay. Any question? Then, okay, I have plenty of time. Okay, so that's when it's confined. If it's not confined, called the deconfined, or sometimes it's called a screen. Okay. Then in this case, we can pull the cloak anti-cloak apart, which means that this goes like constant L as the L goes to infinity. Okay, so then if you inject enough energy, you can pull them apart arbitrarily. That's the deconfined phase, and that translates to the asymptotic behavior of Wilson line, like this is a perimeter. Perimeter. Okay, so that's called the perimeter law. Yeah, I don't know why this institute is called perimeter. Is this a reason or not? Please teach me. And okay, so this is old stuff, but we can further translate. So in the world of one point symmetry, we can further translate this behavior of some observable as a property of vacuum. Okay. So that's that's the new point about Fayerholm symmetry.
We have a question from the chat.
Yes.
From Xu Heng. He's asking, is it possible to have a scaling in between the parameter and the area laws, something like L logarithm of L?
Don't know. Really, I don't know. I don't know how to tackle that question. Yeah. Oh yeah, I Yeah, but I failed to say that this, like this I released, this behavior that the B becomes L can be interpreted like is like that you have some string here, or maybe more like a spring, but we usually call it the tensionful string. So, and so this is some string made of some gauge field, and sometimes called the flux string. So in the confinement case, the image is more like, so this is the our pro particle, but then string fields in the inside the string wall sheet. Okay, so that, and yeah, and that idea was the origin of the string theory. That's one thing. Okay, so again, go back to that picture. It's more convenient to set the name of axis, and well, I'm writing the same picture. Which way? The wrong way, right? Then okay, so rectangular Wilson line time. Okay, then what to do? So we are basically thinking about the limit of this line and of this shape. So this is just L and T. Sorry, this is L. And we take limit in particular case that L is larger than T. Well, sorry, I'm confused. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we first send L, then we send T. Okay, so then, well, it's like, we can just first pull this line apart. Okay, then we got this also. Where is green? Just two infinite lines. So the Wilson line of infinite t equal 0 and this line in the other direction t equals to t, and when t is also taken large, then when t is large enough, then it splits apart. So we can regard this as a in this limit with carefully taking care of the divergence, then it's so formally we access we got this as the absolute value. It's absolute value because the two of opposite direction of this correlator of inserting W. But, sorry, we are talking about general R.
code.
Sorry about that. Okay. And okay, so what I want to say is that from here we can translate the behavior of VS Online to the property of the vacuum. So let's say that if the phase is deconfined. Okay, so by that it's the perimeter of okay, and some coefficient. Okay, and now of course this limit this becomes zero, so it's too stupid. So it's but here we can redefine the modified VS Online like maybe I should have said we modify the VS Online by this particular perimeter of the line times this particular coefficient, and the important point is that this perimeter is the local integral over this loop. That's obvious. Okay. But by this we can take that this this thing TF LT. Okay, this thing is non-zero. So the point is we can find the line operator, which is just modified version of VS Online, and that have a non-vanishing this kind of limit. And also the charge under the one-form symmetry. Okay, so I said that this is almost like the x-axis. Okay. Squared. So this is non-zero, so this is non-zero. Okay. Now So how you look at this, and you look at this as a expectation value of this VS Online in the vacuum. Okay, so we just have one VS Online. So here we have vacuum. Okay. And then we take T is large enough, so it also becomes the vacuum. So we regard this as a vacuum, an x-axis. Okay. And wait. Yeah. So then we think about one more symmetry. So here we have in x axis we have a we have Wilson line. Then consider inserting along the yz axis, inserting a topological topological operator, so yg inverse, ug and ug inverse. Okay, so here, so this is clear. This is t equals to 0. This one t negative, and this one inserted t positive, and this red line is along the, this is dimension 2. Okay, so fields extends along the yz axis. Okay, and this, okay, and we said that this green line, the Wilson line, is charged under this Wolfram symmetry operator. Okay, so this thing is R, and here we have a phase. And we are. Oh, sorry. Before that, first we regard this as a zero. We have vacuum here. Then acts the U. Ug. Sorry. Start from here. Ug, and then we have Wilson line. Then Ug. Dada. Okay, and this is the symmetry action, one form of symmetry action on the Wilson line. Okay. So okay, and we can take the R and G, the non-trivial phase. This is non-trivial. Okay. And so what do we learn from this? Okay, so this have non-trivial phase, so it's not equals to the original one. So this is tilde. Okay, and that means that this symmetry operator extending on yz plane. This is yz plane. For G such that this is not trivial, and is acting on the vacuum is not equals to vacuum. Okay. And so that's coming from the fact that there's a line operator that is charged under the one-form symmetry. Sorry, this is one form symmetry and having the non-zero limit like this. Okay, so it's permittable. Okay, and how do you see this? So this is symmetry. symmetry acting on vacuum, and you get something else. That is spontaneous symmetry breaking. Okay. And to talk about spontaneous symmetry breaking, we need to talk about the infinite tree Lorentz space. So it's essential that we are talking about the flat infinitely large space time. Okay.
Kentaro, is this a good moment to stop?
Sorry.
Is this a good moment to
Oh, stop? Sorry. I mean. Yes. Sorry, I misunderstand. I start from 1:30. Okay. Thanks, Michele.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Then I take. I stop and. Okay.
Yeah. Are there questions for Kentaro?
Sorry, why do you have to take the limit of large loop? I mean, in spontaneous symmetry breaking of ordinary symmetry, it is enough to see that there is an operator which is charged and under symmetry and takes non-zero valve. Here, why you have to take the particular case in which the Wilson loop is infinitely large?
If it's so here we are talking about the Young Mills, and it's important that there's no way to terminate the Wilson line. So either you have a loop fit inside your time slice, or you have an infinite line. But when you have a loop, then if you have instead of this configuration, if you have this configuration, like, okay, then this doesn't give you any phase, because you get phase here and it's inverse here. So yeah, that's the difference. Yeah, of course, for the local operator, it's local, just at the point. But here, we have to insert, to detect the spontaneous symmetry breaking, we need to consider the infinitely extended operator. Yes.
So I was wondering if, so we saw that by the area law versus the perimeter law, you could diagnose if it was confined or deconfined. I was wondering if there's any general remarks you can make about at the critical point between the confined and deconfined phase, if there's any universal scaling of the VEV of the Wilson loop.
Question?
So the question is, is there any general remarks you can say about the VEV of the Wilson loop at the critical point between the deconfined and confined phase?
So at the question, that is probably related to the Schuhan's question, that what happens, or what asymptotic behavior the Wilson line takes in at the critical point. And well, I do not know if the transition is first order transition, then it just depends on the vacuum. But it might be second order, then that might have very funny scaling law. But I don't know. Right. Yeah, right. So maybe just perimeter still, yeah. Well, with online expectation variable can be identically zero. Is that possible?
So,
well, I don't know. Any other question? Okay, so sorry for talking too much. Let's take
no worries. You started late.